Hello, and welcome to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
Carmen, you said that you have to cook something new every week.
Yeah.
Is that a witch's curse?
Who's making you?
Yes, it is. It is the New Year's witch who casts at least one curse upon us all. And this is mine. My curse to bear.
You have to do 100 good deeds to get your body back.
And they're all cooking new?
They're all cooking different things.
Well, it's 52 good deeds. All cooking related.
Yeah.
And I guess it's kind of to get my body back.
In a sense.
I have gained more weight than I'm happy with, so.
Everybody's gained more weight than they're happy with.
But I'm not exactly cooking healthy things. I'm just cooking new things, so my diet's more budgetary than anything.
I learned how to make cake. Again, not like a great step for nutrition, but I can do it now.
Nice.
My witch's curse, I think, is to make at least 2 cakes this year, and I'm sort of 1.5 in, so it should
like
be good.
It's kind of like a very slow-acting cyanide capsule.
What? Knowing
making cakes for yourself?
Yeah, like it's... Wait, is it?
This is my ripcord off of the planet.
That's kind of how I view a lot of my eating choices.
A slow cyanide capsule?
Yeah.
But a cyanide capsule doesn't taste good.
No.
Right?
No, so like it's the best...
What if it did taste like cake?
Like it's kind of bad start to finish, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's not a good way to go.
Not, I mean, I wouldn't think so.
It's a means to an end.
I would much rather die by cake, which yeah. Sounds way, way better. This is relevant. I just ordered an Instant Pot.
Yeah.
Because I got cyberbullied into it.
Okay. By who?
By...
Is that relevant?
My Amazon wish list, because it was there.
Ah.
And it wouldn't go away. And the only way I could make it leave was to buy it. And I could use it to cook, like, more vegetables and good things. But it does also make cakes. So I could just use it as, like, an instant cake maker.
And as far as I know, you don't know how to cook vegetables. You do know how to cook cake.
I have not said that I know how to cook vegetables today.
Right. I have heard the cake thing.
So
this is knowledge I have.
So as far as anybody knows, I know how to make cake and not vegetables. That my knowledge of vegetable cooking is not canon.
Right.
In either direction. So I might not.
It's only present in a few sideline fanfics.
Like if you go onto DeviantArt, there's like some people have kind of made some fan comics about it, but it's not...
It's like Gordy cooks the broccoli.
It's not a fan comic. It's not sanctioned.
That is my new goal for 2018. Speaking of resolutions.
To be in a fan comic.
Your witch's curse.
To have a life that is simultaneously so exciting and boring that someone would, A, write fan fiction about it, and B, it would be about vegetables. And the cooking thereupon.
I think it's a good goal. It's a really like hard line to straddle, right?
It's because a balance beam.
Because you have to be like just interesting enough mm-hmm. that people start to take notice, but not so interesting that they can't draw comics about your
exploits of some kind.
Yeah, like your combats, your famous fights.
Right. And they don't want to ship you with anyone. They just want to watch you cook some broccoli.
It's an extremely like pin needle sized curiosity about my life.
What do you think our mundane fan fiction comics would be? Like we got Gordy cooking vegetables mm-hmm. and it's going to be in a palace full of corgis.
Sure.
But like the action is Gordy is cooking some vegetables.
Yeah, that's just the set dressing.
Right.
There's dogs everywhere.
Just piles and piles of corgis.
Man, that... I know this is not quite related, but that would be a very difficult play. If it was ever adapted for the stage.
To the stage.
Like, set dressing, you do need 100 dogs on stage, always.
Just, like, taped to the backboard. Taped.
Just sort of in, like, what do you call those things that babies... You carry babies
the baby
in?
Baby Bjorns?
Like yeah. Yeah, like those, but they're just lining the walls. They are, and then like maybe 20 of them can run free.
Is it a musical?
Yeah, but the music is 100 dogs barking simultaneously.
What I want is a rotating wall of dogs that are doing like a Rockettes kicking line.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's just wall-to-wall dogs.
I think the music is just whatever comes out of the dogs.
So this is the musical adaptation of the fanfic comic of Gordy cooking broccoli.
Yeah.
All right, so that went places. What would Tyler's...
Hold on, I want to explore this a little further.
All right.
Because you bring up a good point.
Okay.
I don't think you intended to, but I'm latching on to it.
The Matryoshka of fan-created content?
The marriage of fan fiction and Broadway. It's delights.
Yeah, Broadway's going to run out of DreamWorks musicals.
Well, they started to dabble in it with Wicked.
Right.
Which is the highest profile fan fiction.
Right.
It is fanfic.
I'm sure Shades of Grey is coming next, which is the other highest profile.
Oh, yeah. And they're running out of movies.
You know, I think
people care about.
Just as a quick side note, I think Musical Watch is a good segment.
Yeah.
Just to return to, like, what do we think the next hit musicals are going to be?
Apparently, it's SpongeBob.
Is that a real thing?
I posted it to the Discord.
Is it real?
It is real.
Yeah,
it's real, and it's a nightmare.
Horrifying. It is absolutely terrifying.
You know, if they were going to do a cartoon musical,
yeah,
there's some good choices. I don't think SpongeBob is one of them.
How about one with humans in it?
The thing is, they gotta find something that people care enough about that they think they can sell the tickets, but not so much about that they're gonna have to pay a lot for the royalties.
Hey Arnold.
Yeah.
Hey Arnold the musical.
Doug.
Yeah, you just
Wild Thornberries.
Arthur. Sure, why
Rocket
not?
Power. I would go see an Arthur musical.
I would. What would the Arthur musical? I mean, there were musical numbers in the show, right?
And I think that there were like live action Arthur something,
probably
like they do for kids stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
like the Rugrats stage adaptation.
Oh my god, didn't Rugrats do an On Ice show?
Yes, maybe.
At some point?
Probably.
Barney did an On Ice,
mm-hmm.
And Barney did lots of live action.
Yeah.
Oh no.
What's up?
Oh, maybe this isn't real. I don't see anything immediately for live action Arthur. It don't want that.
No.
I don't think so. I've thought about it for a second, and I don't think I want that.
What if we go farther than SpongeBob? Because I think my problem with SpongeBob is that it is close. Like, they simplified it to the point where, like, yeah, it is just people who kind of resemble the cartoon characters a little bit.
For the musical they
yeah.
did?
I want it to be something where you are forced to, like, reckon with what you're looking at as a human cartoon hybrid.
I mean, Ren and Stimpy offers some possibilities, right?
My brain immediately went to Cat Dog.
Yeah.
I want to sew two men together and have them dance across the stage.
Cat Dog. Cat, wow, okay.
That would be very
on their hands.
It's an art project.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a costume. You'd win a Tony for that.
Sure.
Like,
just
that's that
on principle.
That one's in the bag.
Was Cat Dog the only, like, horrifying creature in,
like,
that
body
show,
horror show?
Yeah.
No, because their parents were like a frog hybrid thing and a Yeti.
Man, I did not watch a lot of that show. Because I think
All
Real
much.
Monsters would also be a pretty good one.
That'd be a good one.
They must have done that one already.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would, like, legit go see a Futurama musical. Because they had a couple of musical episodes.
Yeah, they could just, like, just copy-paste, basically.
Yeah, like the one at the last one of the fourth season. Just do that, but a musical. That'd be great. Man, don't see one for All Real Monsters.
Yeah, there are a lot of options here.
Courage the Cowardly Dog. Is that a good musical?
That would be a fun musical.
It'd be a weird musical.
It'd be weird. It'd be in. I would go see it.
Yeah.
That, I mean,
I'd be more inclined toward that than SpongeBob.
I mean, it's a gold mine. The thing is, I think we need SpongeBob to work out. We need the SpongeBob musical to do well.
It's the test ground.
As it is a proof of concept. And if SpongeBob : the musical on, is it Broadway?
It is on Broadway.
On Broadway, New York City, New York, United States.
Yep, that's the one.
If they do it there and it works and people like it.
Two shows a day.
Alternatively.
The doors are open.
Alternatively, we hope it fails, forcing Broadway musical people to look for new ideas, which brings them to My Immortal, the fanfic musical.
I saw that. Wait, My Immortal?
Yeah, no, you saw the...
What did I see? The, I don't even remember.
Android Lloyd Webber fan fiction of Android Lloyd Webber's
own product.
Yeah,
fiction of...
I saw Phantom of the Opera, the sequel,
Gaston LaRose.
Slash fan fiction.
You literally saw it?
I did.
You went to the show?
I went to the Fox Theater.
Why the hell am I just now hearing about this?
Because I thought you knew.
But why didn't you review it in front of me?
The core of the review is that Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote fan fiction of his own musical.
Yeah,
like he wrote a weird fan thing. Like, it's everything you don't want it to be. Like, it just stanks of unnecessary sequel.
Gordy, the secret is that that's everything I want it to be.
Okay. That's okay. The only musical Tyler would pay money to see.
Are you familiar with the broad strokes of Phantom of the Opera?
I am.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Phantom of the Opera 2, Love Never Dies.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
It's not actually called Phantom of the Opera 2. It's just called... Love Never Dies.
Yeah.
Which is already pretty solid.
It is like 10 years later, the Phantom has been tortured in his like basement lab the whole time because Christine is gone.
Yeah.
And she's off in New York.
Yeah.
Doing a singy thing. she's married to the guy from, I saw the musical, can't remember his name.
Yep.
Raoul, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Sure. She's married to Raoul. She has a son. Phantom
is
shows up.
Is he a
up.
Phantom?
Well, you sort of hit it.
Is it the milkman situation?
Sort of, yeah. So, spoilers, if you want to see this musical, don't.
This was born with a mask on half its face.
It might as well, because, yeah, it turns out the boy is the Phantom's son.
Whoa.
Because Phantom and Christine
did it
in the basement
they
that one time.
The
mm-hmm. Which I hear is not really alluded to in the first one.
It is not.
It's not. So that, yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere. And yeah, that's...
I mean, it's definitely alluded that that's what he wants out of it, but
It is just dripping with melodrama.
Excellent.
It is so, like, it was well acted.
Yeah.
But, like, it is so dramatic. The whole thing ends with, like, Christine is accidentally shot because someone's going to drown themselves and it gets out of hand. And then, like, she dies in his arms and it's.
So love does die.
At the end.
But it takes a gun.
Yes. Yeah, love dies, but it does take a gun to do it.
That's the third Phantom show. Love does die, but only by a gun.
There's a weird dancey scene at the end of the first act where there's like a skeleton horse down in like this weird basement where the Phantom finds out he's his son.
Yep.
It's like it turned into like a metal music video. For about 5 minutes.
Damn, I'm sad that I missed this.
It's interesting to... It's not good. It's kind of... Like, if you know what you're getting into, it's kind of entertaining to watch. Like, if you are a person who is kind of primed to go see something like that, you'll have a good time.
So anyway.
Anyway.
Let's make a Danny Phantom musical.
Yep. Good one. I can't really help you because I'm
Danny
not
Danny Phantom of the Opera.
I don't know. I don't know much about Danny Phantom.
That's so dumb.
Danny Phantom of the Opera, and
it's a rock opera.
Yeah, it's just right there on the table. There would be good cartoon musicals. I'd go see Gravity Falls the musical.
How do you feel about Shrek?
Nah, I saw a little bit of it.
Yeah, that was
painful.
How'd
you feel?
Even by our standards, and this is the household that watched Teen Task Force 4 separate times all the way through.
And enjoyed.
Yep, and we'll probably watch it again.
I do want to see Beauty and the Beast, the midquel, or whatever we're calling it.
The Enchanted Christmas?
Yeah, because I was thinking about it editing that last episode, and now I want to watch it. Is that a musical?
Yeah.
There you go.
Tim Curry in it.
Put that on Broadway.
Of course it's a musical.
Throw that one on Broadway.
Ferngully, the musical.
Are all the Disney ones?
Ferngully's already a musical, but you want it on the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, make it a stage play.
That'd be interesting.
Ferngully stage play?
Yeah, I don't know if Vore has ever appeared on Broadway.
Wasn't there the one with Daniel Radcliffe and the unicorn and it eats him or something?
Oh, yeah, that one.
and it was
Daniel
and it was
Radcliffe
called
and
the unicorn who ate him.
And it was called Vore the Musical. You know what I'm talking about?
Vore the Musical.
I remember one where Daniel Radcliffe is naked with horses.
Yeah, that's the one. Vore the Musical. Was it a horse? I don't remember if it was a horse or a unicorn.
Did I share my recent Ferngully experience with either of you?
No.
I don't think so.
My YouTube hole.
No.
Nope.
No.
All right. I was... This relates kind of back to Tim Curry and the Enchanted Christmas. Because after we talked about that, I started listening to Tim Curry songs on YouTube, which led me to Ferngully.
Right.
Yeah,
and so
sure.
I listened to the other songs from Ferngully. And Tone Loc, if you recall, plays like a lizard.
Yep.
Like a goanna lizard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his song is If I'm Gonna Eat Somebody.
Yeah.
And it's a song about eating this tiny man.
Yeah.
There's a music video that was produced.
It's like separate from...
Separate, but like related to the movie because it intercuts scenes from the movie. It's a very 90s music video. And it's just kind of Tone Loc dancing around with kids telling him he's going to eat them.
Okay, I know what we're doing when we're done with the story.
It's very uncomfortable. And I don't know who thought it was a good idea.
But again, my favorite thing about these things is that it's not one person who thinks it's a good idea. One person thinks it's a good idea, presents it to another person who's like, let's
get fill
more
a room
people
full of kids
on board with this. Let's hire kids. Their parents read the script and they're like, my 10-year-old can do this.
So many permission slips to sign.
And it's not, he's not singing with them. He is singing at them. He's staring at them. Like, he's on one side of a room, and they're on the other looking at him.
Yeah, because the law.
This is what I want.
Yeah.
Want is a weird word to use.
Sure.
This is what I feel is inevitable. That becomes part of the stage show, mm-hmm. the Broadway stage show.
We bring out Tone Loc.
And then, as will eventually happen,
yeah.
there will be a virtual reality experience
mm-hmm.
where you can buy the musical on VR and experience it.
Yeah.
Like as if you're there.
Yep.
And you are one of those kids. I don't want to be one of the kids on stage because I'm not a kid.
No.
And I don't know
not
if
anymore.
I could, I don't know if I could deal with that kind of like just full assault on my brain. I think I could handle it in a virtual reality setting, but I do want to know what that's like.
But like scientifically.
Scientifically what?
It is a scientific curiosity. What that's like.
You could call it scientific. It's more like now I know that that exists, and I don't think I'm going to be able to let it go.
Okay.
until it's explored. So you can call that scientific. Happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, da-ha-di-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.